We started a two-part series last Sunday called Awkward. I opened up with some awkward silence. Some people were squirming. Some it wasn't enough. Hannah didn't think it was awkward enough. I should have prolonged it a little more. She wanted you guys to suffer. But awkwardness. I like awkwardness. I'm weird like that. Like I said last Sunday, I'm dangerously sarcastic, and I have to reel it in a lot of the time. It's not because I'm mean or anything. I just like to laugh. I like to have fun. But awkward, I just like it. I like awkwardness because it makes people do things that are, you know, out of their norm. They get uncomfortable and they begin to squirm. They begin to react in different ways. And there's YouTube video guys that have, like, they've made it an income out of it because they put these videos out of scaring people or doing a prank on somebody, and it makes this awkward moment. People react weird because we like awkwardness. It's fun to watch. We don't like it when it happens to us because it's uncomfortable and makes us squirm, but we think it's funny when it happens to somebody else. It's just awkward. So I like this series. I like this. I think I'm actually going to do some more of this series. I'm going to pepper it in every once in a while and talk about awkwardness. One second here. And I think it's good. I think it's encountering things. And it's one of the things that's difficult about being Christian is that to share and to talk about our stuff, it gets awkward. It gets awkward to be authentic about the things that bother us, the things that are shortcomings, because people want to seem like they have it all together. They want to seem like they've got it all figured out because that's what feels good. When we are recognized, when we're acknowledged in a way that, hey, look at them, they got it all together. Man, it makes us feel good. It's like we feed off of it. It kind of feeds our pride. That's not a bad thing. It's good to want to be good at what you do. So I'm going to read this quick story to you. It's a good one. A boy and his father were walking through the woods together. They came across a large log blocking their path. The boy turned to his father and said, "Do you think I can lift this log, Dad?" The father replied, "If you use all your strength, you absolutely can." The boy rolled up his sleeves, bent his knees, got his hands under the log. He locked his arms and heaved with every ounce of the strength he had. But the log wouldn't budge. He tried over and over and over and over again until at last, exhausted, sweating, just ready to give up, I'm sure slipping all over the floor in the mud, on the ground, ready to give up. He did that. He gave up. He looked at his dad with disappointment and frustration and said, "You told me I could lift it." His dad smiled and said gently, I told you you could if you used all of your strength. You didn't ask me for help." Puzzled. So the boy asked his dad to help him, and together they lifted the log out of their path. "Your strength isn't held by you alone, but also by the people who march alongside you. When you feel unequal to the task in front of you, perhaps it's simply because you aren't using all of your strength." When we are in community with people, we forget. We think that it's all on our own. We think that it's all on our head to make it happen. And we like to feel like we can do that. We feel like we can tackle it all. And we look for encouragement, and people encourage us. Yeah, you can do it. But then when we fall short, just like this child did, we do exactly what the child did. We get angry because it's awkward. It's uncomfortable, especially in front of some people that you respect or want them to respect you. You feel like you're inadequate. It's an awkward thing. It's something that we all encounter. I encountered this as a child, inadequacy. It's a lot of where our self-esteem and our self-consciousness and all those things, it's all what it comes from, is inadequacy. And it's something that we learn as a child. When I was one of the big things in my life, and I've talked about it before, was sports, playing baseball. That was a scary thing to me. feeling inadequate. When it came time to perform, that's one of the hardest things to do in sports, is keep your mind right. It's mostly a mental game. Everybody has the physical agility, for the most part, to make this stuff happen, to be a part of the team, to add something to it. But when you get in your head, especially baseball, it's like a reaction thing. You're sitting there, you're waiting. You start mulling over in your head of how you can mess up and how it's going to look bad and how you're going to let the team down. And there's a famous story about a pitcher. I can't remember the pitcher's name at the moment. But the coach comes up to him, and he's struggling. And they're like on the edge of winning the game. And they said, all right, this guy, he's a big hitter. Just don't throw him inside. All you got to do, don't throw him inside. Don't do that, and he'll either pop up or ground out, and we'll win. We'll do our thing. So that's all he can think about. He gets it back to the mound. He's like, don't throw it inside. Don't throw it inside. Don't throw it inside. So he's so worried about being inadequate and to perform. Because he thought about it so much, guess what he did? He threw it inside. The big-time hitter knocks it out of the park. They lose the game. Feeling inadequate, especially, it's one thing to think about being inadequate, and that's awkward. It's another thing to actually experience it in the moment of being inadequate, when people are looking at you, eyes are staring at you. Man, you feel like just your skin is crawling. You want to go jump into a hole. You want to hide. You want to make new friends. You want to move to a different city. You know, all these things, all this embarrassing moment, it's very powerful because the awkwardness is real and it's there. I experienced it as a child through sports, getting up to the plate, and I knew that I could do it, and I had hitting coaches that I've told you about. They're very encouraging. My dad was very encouraging, and when I was in the midst of them and they were helping me, man, I was doing it. I could do it. But then when I got into the front of the people that probably weren't encouraging me, and the other team wanted me to lose and wanted me to mess up, it like got in my head. I began to feel inadequate again. It's something that can haunt us. It's awkward feeling. It's something we don't want. Again, the fear of awkward is a big thing, but embracing in that moment, just like that child did, it makes you react. It makes you do crazy things because it's such a powerful thing in your mind and your body. It's something we all face as human beings. And it's not always momentarily devastating like the kid, but it can be often at times devastating. As kids, we think that we're invincible. Everybody in here, I guarantee you, you thought you were invincible. You could do it all because you haven't tried it yet. You haven't done it yet, so how do you know that you can't do it? So you feel like you can. So the boy saw a log. He didn't have the wits about him to know that, hey, that log is large, it's heavy, I can't move that. And so we have these things in our lives. We see when as a kid, we would go at it full force. And then when we fell short, we felt inadequate and it was awkward. And we learned our limitations. This isn't a bad thing. Feeling inadequate is not a bad thing. It's a natural thing. It's supposed to happen. It's what keeps us safe. You know you can't fly, so you don't go dance around on skyscrapers. You don't go walk on the edge. You don't play in traffic because you know you can't run faster than a car. You don't do that. Your inadequacies, it's natural. We all have them. You are inadequate, but that's okay. It makes you human. Yes, we all have special gifts and things about us that make us better than others. Hannah's an awesome cook. I am not. When we first got married, when Hannah was like, I don't feel like cooking, you make something, I felt really inadequate. I was like, man, what's the nearest restaurant? Where can I spend some money to make this happen? I felt inadequate. Luckily, she's very loving, and so she didn't make fun of me or anything. She didn't point it out, but at least I don't remember. I might have forgot about it because it was so devastating. But it's okay. It's okay. We all have these special gifts and we have these things about them, but they're more than we can do. There's stuff that we can't do. Again, that's okay. It's okay to have this stuff. But where does it turn into a problem? Where does it find an issue in our life? See, there's those things that we know, yeah, there's some things that are crazy, flying, whatever. But then there's things in our life that we see that are unachievable, and we wonder, should we even try? This inadequacy kind of like takes us over. Should we even try? Should we give up? Should we just ignore it? Should we choose a different, easier path? No. We shouldn't. Yes, it's awkward to come short. Yes, it's awkward to be inadequate. But that doesn't mean that we should just give up. That we should sometimes embrace the awkward and take a risk and go after it. It's awkward doing that. So there's a portion of scripture, and as the series I've told you before, this series is about awkward things that Jesus asked us to do, awkward interactions that he had with people, and sometimes it's for our own good. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to try something new or to listen to him. This is an instance of an interaction between him and his disciples. That coffee is still hot. Ooh. We know it as the feeding the 5,000. It's a famous story. In this moment in Scripture, in Jesus' ministry, a lot is happening. A lot is being documented. A lot is going on. Some strong stuff. This is like one of the high points, climax, pinnacle. Great things. Cool stuff is happening around Jesus in this moment. And so a lot of people are catching his attention because of these miracles that are going on. And so when we say feeding the 5,000, in Scripture, it says 5,000 men. The Greek word for men was very specific to age and gender. So they mean men, but it wasn't just men that were around. Also, wives, children. So estimating, scholars believe that it was actually closer to 20,000 people. So in feeding the 5,000, he was really feeding close to 20,000 people. Can you imagine? Imagine. I think the Heights holds 50,000 people. Just imagine almost half of that, more than that, 60,000 people. Just imagine that grouping. That's like a whole section of people. And our houses in the Heights are closer together and they're smaller, you know, so there's a lot more people per capita as far as real estate goes. That's a lot. But here's one of the cool things is that in this moment, Jesus, you know, it's different from, because, you know, when the apostles, when they put their gospels in there, it's all from their point of perspective. So it's what they see in the moment. So some don't reference this, but some do. Jesus in that moment had just recently learned about John the Baptist and how he was martyred. He was killed. And it's a sorrowful thing. And Jesus, while in the middle of ministering and how hard that is, he was still human. He was fully God, but he was still human. And he knew the limitations of his disciples, so he decided, hey, let's get away. Let's go take a moment and be alone. And so he jumps, like they go off, he jumps in a boat, and they're like, you know, doing their thing, rowing away. And Jesus was such a big deal. He was doing such great things. People in the distance saw him, and they don't all have boats. So what did? They followed him along the shore. Can you imagine a crowd of people? You're trying to get away from them. Yeah, they love you, and that's great and everything, but you just got to get away. And they're following him. And they get, the scholars believe, is like about 8 miles out into the water. People were still catching up. Yeah, it might have been the young bucks, the, you know, the with the fast legs were keeping up to him, but he saw them. And Jesus had mercy on them. So in knowing that, know this. A lot of cool things that Jesus did, and for the disciples, it was in the moment. He didn't have a pre-launch for these things. He didn't have a, hey, I'm going to coach you, and this is what's going to be, and this is what you expect. It's like, we're in the moment, and this is happening now. And at Jesus' level of ministry, it was beyond human abilities. So it took something extra. So what I'm about to read to you, remember, it's all happening real time for the disciples. It's just as Jesus walked in, he walked out this door, he sat about something, and he sees a crowd, next thing that happens. So remember that as I'm reading this. It's Mark 6, 30 through 44. It's going to be up on the screen. It's a little long, but I'll try to get through it quick. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there before ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages, and so they can buy themselves something to eat." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." So imagine, right? So you just got off the boat with Jesus, right? And he's teaching some more, and he had sorrow on them, and it's a great thing. And these people are so desperate that they just ran miles in crowds to be around him. And so he's teaching, and it's getting late. They couldn't even eat themselves because of how consuming it was. And they're like, okay, so all the disciples were smart guys. They were established in their fields and what they were doing, and they're like, okay, we know our human limitations, God. It's getting dark. This is a kind of a desolate, we're out in the middle of nowhere. These people got to eat. We have to eat, God. You might be able to go weeks without eating because you're God, but we can't do that. We got to eat. So let's send them away so they can go feed themselves and we can go back about it. But Jesus said, no, you feed them. 20,000 people out there in a crowd. They usually circled up in about hundreds and tribes. Could you imagine? You walk out this door and there is a field, 20,000 people, and Jesus is like, oh, I don't want them to leave. Can you feed them? And you're like, imagine feeling inadequate. Your leader, the man that you want to impress and love and show that you are dedicated, they threw their nets to the side. They left everything that they had, their houses, their homes, to follow this person. They want to impress him. They want to make them say, hey, I'm all in. And he asked them like to do the impossible. Go feed them. And so it's kind of like, God, I forgot my wallet. I don't know what? 20,000 people. You can imagine the inadequacy they felt in that moment. So of course, as anybody does when they feel inadequate, their mind starts racing. We know our limitations and we start to think, what can we do? This is where it continues. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. They had to find a little extra. How about that? Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave to them, the disciples, to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Wow. Wow. In that moment, they were like, because there's so much action going on in Jesus' ministry, I'm sure they're tired. I'm sure that they're worn out. The disciples have been walking. They just got done rowing Jesus 8 miles. They couldn't crank up the motor and go. You had to like row. And they're rowing. They're physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually exhausted. And then Jesus asked them to do the impossible. Feed 20,000 people because I don't want them to leave. This is too important. So just like anybody else, they went there. They were trying to think of a way. This was a very awkward moment, a very big feeling of inadequacy. Again, they were smart people. They could figure it out. See, their conventional roadblocks were not the same for Jesus. Immediately, they went to money. Denarii. A denarii, 1 denarii is about like a day's worth of labor. So, how many denarii did they say? Let's see. 200 denarii. That was 8 months of wages. 8 months. They're in the moment. They're not steadily working. They're traveling. They're rowing. And Jesus is like, hey, let's make this happen. And so the logical thing is we need some money and you go buy them something. How much money do we need? So let's say you're out there, you're in the field, you're looking. You look at 20,000 people, and you're like, okay, Lord, you want to make this happen? I need about $10,000. You got it? Anybody have it on them? Somebody pull out their wallet. Let's head down to Kroger and buy everything in the store to feed these 20,000 people. They were trying to put parameters on something, the impossible, because of their inadequacy. We all do this. This is something that happens to us. Where were they going to get it? How were they going to make it happen? The awkward moment was just increasing in each second that Jesus was probably staring at them as they were, instead of asking him for help, instead of looking to him, they were squirming around. They just needed to ask Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" This is after the Gospels. This is after this has happened. And so they've learned through walking with Jesus and being with him that in their weakness, when they fall short, they look forward to it. Because that is the moment, that is the opportunity that Jesus is going to step in and do something miraculous. Just the disciples, just like the little boy, Jesus is like, you can do it. He had all the confidence in them. Feed them. You can do it. With all your strength, if you try with all your strength, you can feed those 20,000 people right now. Disciples thought it was on them. If they would have realized the one that they walk with, the one that they marched with, if they used his help, they could do it. He is also their strength, and he is also your strength. Even the disciples who witnessed miracle after miracle prior to this still dealt with the awkward feeling of inadequacy. So don't think that you're alone. Don't think that this is something that you're challenged with. Even them in that moment knew that they felt inadequate. It's a real thing, and it's okay. So where in your life, as I'm speaking, where in your life have you let inadequacy stop you? Yes, there's some ways that it's good to feel inadequate. Again, dancing on rooftops, trying to fly, running in traffic. Don't do those things. You're inadequate. But there's other things in our life that good for us. We could achieve that if you use all your strength. Where is those things? When you were younger, you tried them. You felt more risk because you felt invincible. But now that we're older, we feel limitations. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But where in your life have you cut off Jesus being your strength? There's sometimes we go about this and we think about it and we ponder over it and we forget to ask the one who created it. When it comes to our finances, we feel inadequate. We don't have enough money, so we just don't do it. We don't help somebody, or we don't go to the next level because we forget to ask the one who gave us the abilities to make the money in the first place. He is our strength. And yes, Jesus even cares about the things that you care about, some things that you probably think are frivolous. Think that I shouldn't ask for that. I shouldn't want that. I shouldn't want a better house for my family because I have a house and it's adequate. You know, I shouldn't want, you know, all these things because you feel bad about it because it's not, you know, you're not Mother Teresa about it, you know? And so we feel like we shouldn't ask, but God cares about the things that you care about because it affects you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to have things and be happy and fun and living in the freedom and having his blessings. He blesses you on purpose. Where your point at, I'm sure there's something probably going on in your life right now that you don't feel blessed, but I guarantee you life to this point, you've had blessings. If you are breathing, if you are fed, if you have a roof over your head, you are blessed. You have blessing in your life. It might not be to the magnitude of somebody else, but you have it. Everybody is welcome to join in to the strength to have that resource. So ask him for help because you can do anything if you use all your strength. If you use all your strength, you can do it. Whatever that is, that promotion, that, I don't know, adoption, you want to adopt a kid, whatever it may be, you can do it if you use all of your strength. In Philippians 4:13, this is a famous scripture. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The apostles are telling you, you can do all things through him who strengthens you, because Jesus' strength is limitless. That's why you hear about these awesome stories, a far-off land of something that happened. They built a well, or they saved a group of people, and all these things. And it's like, why would they risk that? Why would they send themselves there, live their cushy lives, be missionaries, and go over there to do that? But then it worked out, because Jesus' strength is endless. And when we rely on him and we access all the strength in our life, we can make those things happen. So we can do that ourselves, and we need to encourage ourselves that and give God more. At night when you pray, or in the morning when you pray, or in the afternoon when you pray, whenever you pray, thank God for the things in your life, but let him in. Give him the opportunity. Let him help you feed the 20,000. You probably see 30,000 people a day, especially if you live in the city, and a lot of them probably don't know Jesus, and they need opportunities. Pray that God would give you opportunities. Pray that he would do that and be ready, because it's going to come. It's going to happen. So as a group, how can we help each other? That's individually, but again, we need to acknowledge the ones that march around us are also our strength. How can we help each other? One thing is to not be quiet about the things that Jesus is doing in our lives. Like, we have this miracle and this great thing, and it's like, oh man, that's awesome. Oh, man, God is so real. Jesus is so real. I can't, this miracle that just happened. But then we don't talk about it. We don't share it with our fellow Christians. Why do we do that? We should be sharing this stuff, because that's what matters most. If you have somebody at your work or in your family or as a friend of yours that you're trying to tell about Jesus, the best thing that you can do is share your own personal experiences. Those moments, because they trust you. You have relationship with them. It's in those moments you can share those things. They're not going to care about this person at the other church that they don't know anything about, or even the Bible. They haven't read the Bible. They don't know those people in the Bible. They don't know about the disciples and the feeding the 5,000, how great that is, but they know you, and they trust you. And when you tell them that about something that Jesus did in your life, whether it was financial, relational, he came through in a big way, he protected you, that is real to them, because they can see it and it's tangible. So stop being quiet about the things that Jesus has been the strength in your life. We get lost in our heads. We let these moments of fear of inadequacy, fear of not being able to accomplish something. There's times in your life, and I know this to be true because it happens to me, if you serve Jesus in any capacity, there's been moments when Jesus says, hey, go do this. And it looks huge. You're like, I don't have the finances to do that. I can't do this. When Jesus asked us to plant a church, I said, are you sure? I think you missed. There's a guy with more money down the road, with more influence than me, that's more eloquent than me, that is smarter than me, better at marketing, better at all these. There's so many things. And I begin to feel inadequate. I felt so inadequate. I still do. Because this is something that I can't achieve under my own strength. It takes me leaning on the strength of Jesus, because through him, all things are possible. Especially when Jesus asks you to do something, you should embrace the awkward and go for it, because you are on the edge of seeing a miracle. You're on the edge of seeing something powerful happen in your life. When Jesus tells you, go give that man money, or go give that person a meal, he doesn't mean go give them money. He says, go feed them. Go sit down with them. You are on the verge of a miracle. Do not squander those moments. Embrace them. Because what's the worst that could happen? They might think you're a little weird. Who cares? Who cares what people think? Embrace the awkward. Be ready. Don't say no to Jesus when he asks you to do things, because you are on the verge of a great miracle. And the other thing is, if you want to have big faith, if you want to be one of those people you hear about that are strong Christians that have done all these things, and it's like, oh, it's so cool how much money they gave to that ministry. Man, they dropped $10,000 for that orphanage in Haiti. Man, that I would just love the opportunity to be able to do that. If you want to be able to have faith to do those things, start hanging around people that have big faith and act in big faith. It's one thing to have it, and I believe that God can do all sorts of things, but if I don't act in faith, if I don't start putting myself out there, taking the risk, letting Jesus have the opportunity to say, go feed them, I'm not going to have the opportunity to see the big faith happen. So hang around people who have big faith, and that's when it will begin. You'll begin to see it happen. It'll come to life in front of your eyes, and that will strengthen your faith, and that will give you more power to overcome those awkward situations. When you start embracing the inadequacy in that way, you look forward to it. I look forward to the moments when God says, hey, go talk to that school. Even though it might feel impossible to get in, go talk to them. Okay, I'll do it. Go head up this bike rally. Go do these things that might seem weird in the moment or impossible, but go do it. I did it and saw the awesome things that God did, the cool stuff that happened. It's time to embrace the awkward. I challenge you with this. We will, as a church, as a group, as Village Heights, this is something that we're going to practice as well. I challenge you to do this with us. Believe that we will be most effective in teaching people about Jesus. The worst thing that we can do here is be a closed community. We wake up every morning knowing Jesus, having that freedom, knowing that no matter what I do, how bad I mess up today, I am forever His. I am forever God's, forever Jesus's. There's people out there that don't have that freedom. They don't wake up that way. They wake up with weight. They wake up with the burdens of the world on their shoulders because they can't achieve it on their own. Because they're trying to do it all under their own strength. But if they will realize that their strength is not just in theirs, but it's also in Jesus and have a relationship with Him, they will have the same freedom as you. So it would be selfish for us not to tell people about Jesus. You tell them about, they learn about Jesus, and then what's the next thing? They join the community. They come a part of Village Heights, and then we get to share our faith stories. We get to have faith moments with them. We get to believe with them past their inadequacies and see great things happen. That's my promise to you as Village Heights, is that we will not let our circumstances dictate our future. If God told me today, get out of the school and walk down the street and go get a building, you better believe I'm going to do it, because I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting for something awesome to happen, for God to kick open the door again and say, hey, you're on the right track. You're leaning on my strength. This is great. Now watch what I can do. Watch me feed the 20,000 people just because you were ready to rely on my strength. Let's do that together. That's not just for me, not just for Hannah, not just for the team to experience, but when we're a family, when we come together as Village Heights and we push towards that and we believe and embrace the awkward together, it's all of our victory. It's all of us. We can all enjoy that. Don't be like the little boy that forgets to ask his father for help. In your personal life, ask Jesus daily. Ask him for help. For your friends, ask him for help. For this church, ask him for help. And on the most basic level, ask him for help to give other people freedom, to free them from their bondage, free them from their cages that they've put themselves in, of their insecurities, their inadequacies, these things, this fear that governs their life that they wake up every morning with. Let's give them freedom. Let's embrace the awkward, and let's tell them about Jesus and give them opportunities. So next Sunday is a great opportunity for that. We're having Crunch. It's a creative way to be appealing and to show this community that we want to love the things that they love. So I'm going to pray, and let's go forth and do that. Take the challenge, embrace the awkward. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you that We don't have to do this alone, that you are our strength, Father. And in you, we can accomplish anything. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, help us not to be in those moments where we just get lost in our own minds and that we think that we have to do it all on our own. Whether it's small or big, you are in everything. You created everything. You give us all our abilities. You are our strength. So, Lord, I pray for just the Holy Spirit to remind us constantly to rely on your strength so that we can begin to just conquer the things in our life, conquer those moments where we feel like we can't, we shouldn't even try, just to be overwhelming, Lord. And as people begin to see that, they see that, man, this person is fearless. Then we get to tell them why, because of you, because of Jesus, because of the strength that we all can tap into, and it's endless. Lord, I pray for that courage. Lord, as a church, Village Heights, I pray for miracles, God. I pray for awesome things to happen, awesome opportunities for us to put ourselves on the line so we can see your strength shine. We love you, God. I thank for all these people. Keep them safe, and let this message, this knowledge, this wisdom just be planted deep in our hearts and on our minds so that we can begin to conquer in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.